It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
4 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the Gym Class. Coming up for a Tuesday, Iowa falls to 0-2. Iowa State gets a victory as they look toward the Thursday meeting in the Cy-Hawk Series. Iowa gets a big gem as far as recruiting is concerned. And was it good football last night or not good football last night? All that coming up on the Gym Class on KGYA. Welcome in to the Gym Class for a Tuesday here at KGYM. 40 degrees cooler today than it was yesterday at this time. Maybe, well, in the ballpark of 40 anyway. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann with you here as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Going to talk about the Iowa Hawkeye basketball team falling to 0-2. Iowa State getting a victory over Northern Illinois last night. Monday Night Football that at times got kind of ugly last night, and recruiting news as well. All that coming up on the program here today. And Mark, good afternoon. Yesterday at this time, we were preparing for, we had a big crack of thunder on the southwest side about just after 4 o'clock yesterday, maybe 4:15 or so. Did you hear it?
Did I hear it? I about jumped through the roof. I was sitting on my patio and... the lightning seemed like it was 5 feet away and the thunder and, yeah, crazy stuff in December. But I think the front moved through, right?
Yeah, it moved through. Everything's fine. Yeah, that one made everybody jump, especially people that were outside like you and working with equipment. Not anything that was dangerous or anything like that, just everyday things. And wasn't me, though.
It was louder than a pocket hit at Mays City. That's
yes, it
sure.
was. It was a loud bang. Yeah, we had thunderstorms go through yesterday, mid-60s, and now here we are at about the freezing mark and a wind chill in the teens here today. And welcome to Iowa, everybody. That's why we live here, right, Mark? Or why we wonder why in the world we are still living here at this
point.
Well,
we're reminded of that, right?
All the time. Yeah. All the time. Lots to get to on the program. Let's start off with some breaking news. Not only Willie Taggart, sounds like he is leaving Oregon and headed to Florida State, native of Florida, coached at USF, of course, and went to Oregon, and now moving back to the Sunshine State to take over for Jimbo Fisher at Florida State in Tallahassee. But bigger news, closer to home, Chad Lystico, well, the young man tweeted it, and then, of course, it was retweeted by most of the news folks out there that cover Iowa football. But a big, big get in the recruiting wars. A four-star, the probably this year's undisputed top prep in the state of Iowa, made his commitment in the last half hour. Mark John Wagner of West Des Moines Dowling, the five-time defending state champions. He never knew anything but winning the championship at Dowling Catholic in his 4 years there. But Wagner has tweeted out that he is going to be an Iowa Hawkeye. So that's a big get for Kirk Ferentz today.
Four-star by Recruiting Services. He also was considering Minnesota, UCLA, and Nebraska. In fact, P.J. Fleck, the Minnesota coach, was scheduled to visit Wagner on Tuesday in order to finalize a deal. Yeah, or a visit in the next couple days, but Wagner backed off that, or Fleck backed off it, I'm not sure. And I think Reese Morgan met with Wagner today, Iowa assistant coach. And outward appearances, a good get. Watched him in the championship game, and no offense to the opponent, but he had his way with folks on the offensive line.
Very much so. Very much so. And a big get. It's one of those that Iowa wanted to get. Iowa State was in there as well. There were reports that Wagner really wanted to have Notre Dame show interest. Notre Dame kind of held off a little bit. What is Notre Dame's loss is Iowa's gain at this point. But Hawkeyes get a big coup as far as recruiting in the state of Iowa. And he's a four-star out of West Des Moines Dowling and basically, I believe, three-year starter for the Maroons.
6'5", 245 right now.
Yeah, and can move really, really well. Kind of in that mold of not quite as tall as an Anthony Nelson, but maybe a little bit faster. You'll put on some pounds, I'm sure, and you can pretty much say that you're going to have John Wagner and A.J. Epinesa as your bookends here.
That's a good point.
For a couple years at least, probably playing together out there. So you could do a lot worse than that, I think.
Yeah, after losing out on hometown Oliver Martin last year, who went to Michigan, Iowa gets what is regarded as the top recruit in the state. And that's never bad.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Coming up on 10 past the hour at 3 o'clock. That is the Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line. You can find them on the Ped Mall in Iowa City. You can reach us as well at 319-366-1600. That's the good news out of Iowa City. The not so good news, the Iowa basketball team, the men's basketball team drops to 0-2 with the loss at Indiana last night. There were good moments to that game. There were poor moments to that game. Maybe one of the poorest was at the end of the first half when Iowa lacked a little bit of hustle, other than Jordan Bohannon, who did get back. That did not stick in the craw of Fran McCaffrey very well, and he came out with a new lineup in the second half of that game, which actually worked for a while and brought Brady Ellingson off of some screens, which worked for a while. Kind of like to see Jordan Bohannon come off a few screens, but that's just me. But Iowa now 0-2 in the Big Ten Conference.
Yeah, and I've got a lot of people, I'm sure you do too, asking what's wrong with this basketball team. I happened to talk to Steve Miller, the former Corner Cods football coach today, and the first words out of his mouth was, what's wrong with that basketball team at Iowa? And I think a lot of folks have the same feelings about that. It was not a good first half, at least the last 8 to 10 minutes. But Iowa came out of the locker room and cut a 15-point lead to 1. And as you mentioned, Fran McCaffrey mixed up his lineup and sat Mohannon. Ellingson delivered, and you made a good point. He was coming off screens. He wasn't trying to create at the point position. But to Indiana's credit, Indiana's not a great team, okay? But Indiana responded with, what, an 18-19-0 run?
Yeah.
And Katie barred the door then. So where does Iowa go from here? Well, it goes to Ames on Thursday night. And I got to believe out of the chute, Iowa State's guards are going to give Iowa all kinds of issues. Last night against Northern Illinois, the front court accounted for 64 out of the 94 points. Donovan Jackson, Wigginton, Weiler Babb. That's going to be not a very good matchup for Iowa, I got to believe.
Iowa, I think, will have a little bit of an advantage inside if Tyler Cook can get things going. But I think you hit the nail on the head as far as the guard court is concerned, as Iowa State is going to have, you got to think, the advantage back there at this point. Now, it's a typical Iowa State team. It's not a real deep team, about seven deep, basically, for the most part. But those seven have come on as of late. Has Iowa State played the world's toughest schedule? No, Iowa State has not played the world's toughest schedule. Hawkeyes haven't played the world's toughest schedule either, except for the fact they've gotten a couple of conference games thrown in there to kind of settle them in. But Iowa's got to go from falling to 0-2 and now going to your rival to play on the road in a couple of days. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out for this 1 year. We'll see.
What do you think? 319-366-1600. That's our Hurtina & Stocker Jeweler text line and our phone line. Kyle Mann producing today on the other side of the glass. Kenneth at 2364. That was an ugly game last night. Sloppy on both offense and defense, and a few unlucky bounces and some questionable coaching moves. The positives, Ellingson and Daly.
Maishi Daly. There's talk now that Maishi Daly may be in the point guard mix a little bit. And obviously, Connor McCaffrey is going to come back. Going to come back probably in the next week or two, maybe even by Sunday. There are rumblings out there anyway. He might get in to the game against Southern on Sunday. Probably not going to play against Iowa State, though. You asked me before we got going, is Jordan Bohannon a better two-guard than a one-guard?
Yeah, you've seen him for 4 years in high school and now a year plus in the college ranks.
It's a different game in the college ranks. It's a more physical game. He's got taller guys guarding him. And the thing with Jordan is the guards are being physical with him. And opponents are seeing that now as far as the film is concerned. And that's the game plan. If you can stop Bohannon, you can pretty much stop the Iowa outside game. Isaiah Moss has been either hit or miss so far, and he was a miss last night. Brady Ellingson came in and played more minutes than Isaiah Moss did last night. Maishi Daly might be a guy a little bit bigger than Bohannon, might be in there to take over that point position a little bit, move Jordan Bohannon to the off-guard spot, so maybe he can come off of some of those screens like Brady Ellingson did. The Indiana boys did pretty well last night. For Iowa with Ellingson and Nungy. And it was a very interesting lineup that Daly, Ellingson, Nungy, Cook, and Bear.
Mm-hmm.
And Bear. And Bear is still not back into game shape yet. I know it was a finger or something like that. He could still do cardio, whatever the case may be, but he missed game action. And you can't replicate game action in a practice situation for that long, especially in conference play.
70-99, echoing your sentiment, Scott, they're lacking guards. No guard can get to the rim and create his own shot. J-Bo should be moved to the two.
I don't think it's a bad idea. And I think that was going to be the thought process when Connor McCaffrey was playing.
This is just a few games removed from a season in which Jordan Bohannon put up phenomenal freshman numbers. Numbers that rivaled with the best in the country.
Keep in mind, though, he had a young man by the name of Peter Jock back there, too.
Fair enough.
Who is getting a lot of the same attention that Jordan is getting now. And in Fran McCaffrey, and it goes back to Mike Gesell, too. In Fran's offense, that point guard doesn't get a lot of help. He's got to create on his own. Peter Jock had to create a lot on his own last year. Especially at the end of the game when they needed him. And you go back to all those times of Mike Gesell, other than the North Carolina game down there when he did come through at the end. How many times did Mike Gesell have to create something at the shot clock buzzer to get it off? That's just the way Fran McCaffrey's offense is. And there's a lot of emphasis on that point guard position.
Brian from Walford on the text line. I also like Daly running the point. More ball movement, and Bohannon cannot create his shot, and he looks very shaky when he has the ball pressure. He needs to be coming off screens.
I would agree. But I will say this about Jordan, too. I think Jordan's going to be fine. Very, very good player. But it's hard at 6'1", 6'2", to get that ball off like that when you're being bodied. And without a true point guard behind him, he's having to play more and more minutes out there. And I think at the end last night, the shot was coming up a little bit short. I think he's just getting gassed at the end of the game right now. Needs some help back there.
One thing that frustrates me about the text line is nobody puts, or hardly anybody puts their name to their text.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hide behind that phone number, 0255. I feel like it's time to move on from Fran. He has, what, 2 Big Ten tournament wins in 8 years and 0 in the NCAA tournament.
It's just,
is that fair?
Not yet. Everyone's disappointed.
He's in the upper division Big Ten finish.
Right.
Each of the last, what, 4 or 5 years?
And Iowa's going to have to stew on this for a couple, 2 or 3 weeks now. The 0-2 start in the Big Ten, and they are definitely behind the eight ball at this point. If Iowa loses to Iowa State Thursday night, that's just another pin in the balloon as far as a possible NCAA bid, unless you end up in the top, what, 4 or 5? 5 at the outside, I think, if you're the Hawkeyes. You're in the top 4 in the Big Ten. You're going to go to the NCAA tournament. There's no doubt about that. But another loss to a good non-conference team, that's going to be hard to overcome unless you really turn it on. And I was in an 0-2 hole right now.
All right, that last text was from Kyle. Thank you very much for that, Kyle. And keep listening, keep texting, keep interacting. 2723. Ziggy, none of McCaffrey teams are ever going to be defensively strong.
He's an offensive guy.
87-21, I blame the coaches. They never seem to be ready to play. And when things go south, Fran wants to blame the refs.
I think he blamed his team last night. Because they, if he didn't have, coming out with a different lineup in the second half shows me he was, yeah, I did not want to be in that locker room at halftime last night at the Assembly Hall and hear what he had to say, because that was not, I don't think that was for the faint of heart last night.
0190 makes a fair enough point, I guess. As far as basketball is concerned, folks have to remember they are starting freshmen and sophomores. One concerning thing is transition defense. It seems on even Hawkeye misses, other teams are getting numbers running back. It takes zero talent to hustle.
I think you're also seeing the fact that you got a very, very young big man in Luka Garza right now.
Isn't basketball different, though? I mean, these guys have been playing.
Well, they play 100
AAU
games
ball,
a
high school.
Summer.
They've been competing against upper level, maybe not Big Ten talent, each and every spring and summer. I mean, you look at teams around the country have freshmen contributing and contributing in a big way. I think to a certain extent, freshman, sophomore, yeah, okay, they're young, they're inexperienced. But I think basketball is a little different animal than it might be in football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Now, I will say this about Garza and big men. Big men tend to take a little bit longer. I don't know why, just because of the height, whatever the case may be. They take a little longer to go in. And I think you could tell last night a little bit, Luka Garza is getting pushed around a little bit on the interior. And that's going to happen. Had a nice hook in the second half, but the game was over by that point. But they need to get him going. Tyler Cook right now, with Luka Garza not going real well, is trying to do a lot on the inside, getting his shot blocked a lot. He's getting it back after he gets it blocked and throwing it down at times. But I was telling you beforehand, I think he's probably had 20 to 25 of his shots blocked so far this year. And I'm not trying to blame Tyler Cook or anything like that, because, again, you know, he's digging his heels in more. When
I think they're pressing a little bit, too.
I
when
do,
things
too.
Go south, the natural, you know, tendency is to press. And I think Bohannon's been pressing, and others as well at this point. So how do you get these guys to, you know, come back, relax, and play within the offense, do what they can? That's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. 319-366-1600. So you got Iowa trending downward. You got Iowa State trending upward at this point. And the two shall intersect on Thursday night. We'll have the game for you beginning at 6:30 on 1600 AM. Women play tomorrow night, which is going to be a very interesting game as well. And this is almost the exact opposite that's going on right now of the men. You got the Iowa women, who are right now, what, top 10 RPI? At this point, as far as the country, the only loss was the one-pointer to Elite Eight Florida State in a game that they led for most of the way. The Big Ten Player of the Week Award is going to be, you know, renamed the Megan Gustafson Weekly Award, doing so well. And you got Iowa State that is coming in under 500, and they need a non-conference win going into a tough Big 12. So you'll have almost the opposite of the men's game coming up tomorrow night in the women's game.
Yeah, in Iowa, I have not seen Iowa State. I listened to them a little bit, but Iowa from Gustafson has been remarkable. What she's doing, double-double almost every time out, and a pretty good supporting cast around her, too. I think Iowa should win this game, but you never know at Hilton.
But Iowa, the home team has owned the series. What, Iowa has not won a name since 1989, I want to say?
Was it that long?
Yeah, 28 years since they have won in Ames, and it's going to be interesting tomorrow night. Going to be very, very interesting. By the way, a couple things before we get to a break here. As far as Iowa State is concerned, it's up to nearly 12,000 tickets sold now for the Liberty Bowl, including over 1,000 students' tickets, which Iowa State is picking up $45 of the $85 ticket price.
How about that?
Yeah. You think other schools may follow that system a little bit? Not sure there's going to be a lot of Iowa students headed to the Big Apple.
No.
For many various reasons, but that's pretty good student representation that's going to be going down there.
It really is.
$40 and you can drive down there if you're an Iowa State student. So that's pretty cool. And looks like Mike Norvell is going to be coaching the Memphis Tigers, as he has just announced that he has signed an extension to continue as the coach of the Memphis Tigers. He has signed a contract extension. So nothing to get Memphis's head looking in different directions right now if their coach is going to stay. He is going to be around for this game.
I was going
to
recommend Gabe Kuhn as the next head coach.
He might have other things to do. We're going to talk about last night's Bengals-Steeler game a little bit as well. We're going to do that coming up after we talk to Wyatt Schultz. And we're going to talk to Wyatt coming up here in just a little bit. A lot of talk today. Is it another black eye as far as the world of professional football, football in general, is concerned? Because, man, oh, man, that was, at times last night, that was more of a WWE brawl than in a football game at times. And suspensions have already been handed out for that game. And then, of course, you had Ryan Shazier, who suffered the terrible injury on a tackle last night. They hope to have him moved from a Cincinnati hospital to a Pittsburgh hospital sometime in the next 24 to 36 hours. That is good news, because if he had problems with the spine or anything like that, they would not be moving him at this point. So I take that as very, very good news out there. So hopefully we'll hear even better news coming up. But that they are rivals, and man alive, that got nasty at times last night between the Steelers and the Bengals.
But Jed, I can't confess I watched the whole game, but I watched enough of it to see that it was a very hard inning game. I'm with Ben Roethlisberger. Hey, it's a division game, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh rivals. That's football. He didn't get that from Kirk Ferentz, but
it's football.
I mean, I think this week is Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Yes, it is on Sunday
night. So, I mean, you're going to get much of the same.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And they hate each other probably more than the Bengals do with the Steelers. That's been the most hated rivalry, I think, in football over the last handful of years. All right, 3:26. We'll take a break, come back. Wyatt Schultz is going to join us from The Predicament. We're going to talk some high school wrestling. It's brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. I know a lot of people interested in our high school wrestling segment, and we had KJ on last week. We'll talk about the big events that took place over the weekend and what's coming up next, the Predicament rankings as well. We'll do that when we come back here in KGYM.
Is your power tool not working? Does your mower or chainsaw need maintenance? If you're having these issues with your power equipment or just need something tuned up, let the factory-trained technicians at Acme Tools fix the problem for you. We'll assess the issue and give you a free estimate to get it fixed. Mention this ad and we'll take 10% off your service work. For quality service work and parts, visit the Acme Tools Service Department and let us help you do your best work. Acme Tools on Blairsbury Road in Cedar Rapids.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa. First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
At American Family Insurance, we help protect what you've achieved so you can fearlessly go after your dreams. For auto, home, business, and life, contact us today. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance, Life Mutual Standard of Ohio and Wisconsin Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency, excellence in customer experience.
3:28, back with you here on the gym class on KGYM. Don't forget, we've got tickets to the Rough Riders this Saturday night against Chicago coming up before 4 o'clock. It's Ugly Sweater Night on Ugly Sweater Weekend. The Rough Riders are going to be wearing ugly sweater jerseys that you can win in an auction on this Saturday night, December the 9th. And we're going to have those tickets before 4 o'clock. Looking forward to giving those away here on the gym class.
Yeah, you're wearing a snappy sweater today. Do you have an ugly sweater?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Did you purchase it for, you know, like an ugly sweater party or?
No.
Or you didn't think it was ugly?
It was a giveaway.
White elephant type thing?
No.
Okay.
It just was a giveaway, and I have one. That's all I'm going to say.
I think I got it. Went down a sensitive road there for a minute.
No, I just it was a giveaway from a business in the area, and I don't want to go there.
Fair enough.
for good reasons or bad reasons, I don't want to. Yes, ugly sweater jerseys.
Okay,
they're going to be great. They're going to be great on Saturday. Thank you to the Rough Riders. Last Saturday, a lot of wrestling. First wrestling tournaments took place, and to talk about that in high school wrestling, we're pleased to have Wyatt Schultz join us once again this year, who covers wrestling for The Predicament, and he's one of the state's top experts as far as high school wrestling and college wrestling and all things wrestling are concerned. And how you doing, Wyatt?
I'm not doing too bad, and the sweater was probably a family gag gift.
No. Nope, it wasn't, but it suffices. Oh man, now everyone's going to be guessing on this. Anyway,
sorry about that.
That's
but
fine.
I had to throw that out there.
Well, that's fine. That's what, you know, we like to have fun on the old program here, but well, we got 1 week in the books anyway. Some very interesting things taking place in the world of high school wrestling. You had the big two-day independence tournament that I know Cliff King and you guys at The Predicament are happy to be a part of. And that was probably the highlight of the weekend.
It really was. I don't know if people are familiar with the format at all. Until last year, I didn't know how that format worked. It's pool on everybody is seated, of course, but it's pool on Friday, and then depending on how you finish in your pool, your bracket is on Saturday. And I guess the part I like about that tournament is some of your lower wrestlers get good matches at the end of the day on Saturday, and they're not just going 0-2 in these tournaments and sitting and watching everybody else. They're still getting 5 and 6 matches, which is what all these coaches want. And that was a great tournament.
And Nelson Brands with a championship there at Iowa City West, and he's one of the state's premier wrestlers this year. How'd he look?
I think he looks great. He's one of those wrestlers, maybe I'm a little old school. He's the style that I like to watch. I like that ground and pound, I guess is the way I would call it. He's in your face all the time. He's just going to come at you for 6 full minutes. And it's just a style that I like. I appreciate that.
Well, it was a who's who. A lot of Division I wrestlers were at Independence for that two-day tournament.
Exactly. And you know, another one that, and I don't know maybe how to say it, Tyler Sloan got beat in the finals by, I can't pronounce his name, from Scott West, Minnesota, who's actually a signee with Iowa State. But I had one of the coaches come up and tell me that how impressed they were of Sloan. So he had a good tournament. He beat Tyrell Gordon out of Waterloo East, who I think is a pretty solid wrestler in his own right.
Apple from Lisbon suffered a loss. Did you see that match?
I sure did. But, you know, he got beat by the same kid last year, Severato. And he tried to go a little upper body with a Greco world team member, and you don't want to go Greco with a world team member, you know. And so right away he got thrown to his back, and when you're down by 6 right away, it's hard to come back with a individual with that type of talent.
Fort Dodge won it. That's a pretty good feather in their cap, and they got the victory over Christian Brothers out of the state of Missouri. Scott West out of Minnesota got third. Lisbon, really good sixth place, just ahead of Cedar Rapids Prairie, and then Iowa City West ended up 12th up there. So some good representation from local teams, and good to see an Iowa team win it with the out-of-state teams there.
Right, Fort Dodge, and I think they placed about 7 guys in the top 8. It'll be interesting to see how they fair as the season progresses. For the simple reason, I wonder how deep their holes are, and if they can compete with Southeast Polk, who just seems to reload. I wonder if their holes are as deep as Southeast Polk's are, or deeper. But yeah, I was really actually impressed with Prairie. I didn't know how good or solid they were this year, and with their seventh place finish in that type of a tournament, I thought they did pretty well. Lisbon, you know, you have your certain individuals that you know they're gonna do fairly well. So, but Prairie is the one that I was really tickled with.
You have Southeast Polk number one over Fort Dodge right now, Wyatt. Why?
I'll be right up front honest with you. All three classes, when we figured out the points, they were within about one point of each other. Mm. So basically, you could flip a coin. Southeast Polk had, I believe it was did they have one more number one kid versus Fort Dodge? Because I went and figured it out the other day how that turned out. But there are eight guys that we have ranked are just a tad higher than the 10 guys at Fort Dodge.
So it's close, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and 2A was the same way, as well as 1A between Denver and Lisbon. You could have flipped a coin there, too, with Lisbon.
Well, and speaking of Denver, they won the Keith Young. Denver Tripola did. Beating West Des Moines Valley, and Kennedy just edged out, almost got second, missed getting second by 2 points, and then edged out Norris Scott for third. So Cougars had a good meet up there at the Keith Young.
Yes, they did. You know, they had three in the finals, and I think they placed, three-thirds, or they had three in the consolation round anyway, two-thirds in the fourth. But I thought for as solid as a tournament as that is, I thought they did a great job the way they finished as well.
Is the metro area down this year, Wyatt, or is it just that teams like Southeast Polk, Fort Dodge, Waukee, Johnston, those type teams are just that much better?
I would say it's a little down, but I also think that Des Moines metro area has just gotten so strong. With your Fort Dodge, or that CIML, basically, Southeast Polk, your Ankeny schools, Urbandale solid, Johnston is solid. And if you look at the rankings, I think they have five of the top six teams are out of that CIML. And the next go around here in another week or so, you may see the top five.
Looking at some of the tournaments, is this the West Delaware's back now that they took first place in their own invitational?
Well, I personally, I would say that tournament wasn't real strong. I don't know. I didn't go into real deep results with Davenport Assumption. So I don't know how much of a full lineup they had, but you know, West Delaware, they're full of athletes anyway, with their football, just their all around athletic program up there. So they're not going to be very far down, even if they are down. Their highs and lows just aren't that deep. So I guess I was a little surprised that they won it, but at the same time, they still have a good team.
You mentioned the rankings are really close across the classes. Denver and Lisbon, 1-2 respectively in 1A, and there's Don Bosco again. So how would you analyze 1A and Lisbon's chances?
I would say Lisbon's chances are very, very good. We're going to find out Thursday night. I'm headed up to Denver. We're going to actually stream the Denver Don Bosco dual meet on Thursday evening. So we'll find out how some of those head-to-head matches come up, or if they if they're out to win the duel. We'll see how much jumping around they do. But even at the Keith Young, you know, Denver handled Don Bosco. Of course, they're still coming off their football season too, so they may not be at full strength.
Yeah, you're right, and definitely, and Albernette's going to be a player in there. Not off to a great start as far as the season, as far as results are concerned, but they're going to be there when the dust settles a little bit, top 10.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, with Sloan and Wilson in there, and basically two potential finalists, especially in 1A, you're gonna get a lot of points out of them. So they're going to be in there. You know, another one that's pretty interesting to me, and maybe because I have a personal interest, is Wapsie Valley. They've got the three kids that are ranked, and also their youth program up there. They've got 60 kids out that they start with in the fall, and by mid-February, they still have 60 kids out. So their program is just doing nothing but getting stronger and stronger.
Wow, just amazing stuff right there. You mentioned that the meet coming up on Thursday, that you're going to be at some others. Probably the top one in the MVC is Iowa City West and Hempstead are going to wrestle at Iowa City.
Yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to finding a result for that. It's one of those situations I just can't make it to everything, and so I got to kind of pick and choose, but that would be a pretty good duel.
Yeah, I would agree. And some of the events coming up this weekend, I think Mount Vernon's got their tournament, Waverly,
yeah.
Western Dubuque's going to have their tournament, and I know West Des Moines Valley and Centennial both have tournaments.
Right. You know, Valley and Johnson flip-flop every year, which is where Jeff and Washington are at. But that's traditionally a pretty good, solid tournament. Of course, when you have Ankeny, West Des Moines Valley, and, you know, and Johnson there, or the metro schools, it's going to make it a good tournament. But that Mount Vernon tournament, you know, for a smaller school tournament, is always a good tournament, too.
What do you make of the college scene? We're going to talk to Mark Ironside tomorrow, our friend. But Iowa with a couple squeakers, you and I with a nice tournament in Vegas.
Right, and I've kind of made the comments at work. You know, if I was Heffernan, I'd be a little upset with my heavyweight. All you had to do is go out there and not get pinned, and what does he do? And you win the duel. And when was the last time Illinois beat Iowa in a duel meet? So I'd have been pretty upset.
Mm.
But I guess it's just one of those things, and I'm sure that heavyweight learned a lesson. But you and I, Northern Iowa, they're getting better. I think some of the minor aches and pains will start going away, and we'll see what happens after the first of the year.
Yeah, and in Penn State even had a scare against Lehigh. So, you know, even mighty Penn State.
Down 15 to nothing.
Yep, squeaked one out.
Yeah, you know, and isn't that interesting how the matchups happen? Kind of like the Iowa Ohio State football game. You know, it's just one of those matchups that are kind of freaky, and that can happen.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a topsy turvy world of wrestling in both high school and college this year, which makes fun for you.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I think I'm probably headed to. Speaking of where we're going this weekend, and I don't know if people are aware, but this weekend, the Council Bluff Classic, you may look at two three-time undefeated state champions going at it.
Ooh.
And, yeah, and I'm really looking forward to that. I talked to a little bit about to Brody Testy on Saturday, and when I congratulated him on his tournament win, he just looked at me and kind of winked, and he said, "I'll see you Saturday." So he's looking forward to it, you know. And I've also heard or people had mentioned the fact that would they really wrestle, or would they want to keep their undefeated streaks alive? And knowing both those individuals, I think they'd look forward to it.
You're talking Teske from Fort Dodge, and who else?
Alex Thompson of Underwood.
Okay.
Yeah, they're both three-time undefeated state champs. And I just think with both their mentality, I think they'd and look forward to the opportunity to wrestle the other one.
I think and they'll both be favored to win coming
up. Exactly.
So why not wrestle?
Yeah, one of them is 139 and all. Of course, not including last weekend's records or this year's. And the other one is 135 and all. So it'll be interesting. I can't wait to see it.
That's doing some quick math. 274-0
Yeah.
Going at it, at least, and probably 280-0
Yeah. You know, and of course, Teske has signed with Penn State. Alex Thompson is going to Nebraska. So it's a couple of great, and both those kids are just great individuals, which is why I enjoy going around to the summer tournaments.
Oh, yeah. Great, great wrestling coming up, seriously. When's the next set of ratings coming out for you guys?
They will be out in a week from Thursday.
Okay.
Before Christmas, we're going to do them about every other week like we always do. We may make some changes come the first of the year. I'm haggling over going out once a week, so we'll see.
All right. Well, so next time we talk to you, you'll have fresh rankings. So that'll be good.
Yes, we will.
And a lot of good matches under our belts. So.
Right. And also, I noticed I didn't get any text questions on English Valley today.
No,
Mark?
Axmere's at Iowa now, right?
That's right.
There you go. All right. Hey, Wyatt, appreciate it. Thanks for taking time out. We'll look forward to talking with you again this year about wrestling.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, you guys.
You bet. Wyatt Schultz joining us here. He and KJ Pilcher, tag team on high school wrestling each Tuesday. It's brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. And our thanks to the folks at The Predicament, where Wyatt is one of the experts over there.
Absolutely. And by the way, happy birthday to our friend KJ Pilcher.
KJ's birthday today.
It is.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. I hope he has a good one. Out there. Is he the one that brought the cold weather today then? Can we blame him for that?
Sure we can.
All right.
He's got broad shoulders.
3:45 here in the program. We're going to take a break and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the Bengals and the Steelers last night. Ugly at times on the field. And is this just another, is it old school football that people want to see, or is this just another possible step in football kind of going down as far as the sports in the country are concerned? Your thoughts about it at 319-366-1600. But as we head to break, going to give you an opportunity to pick up tickets to see those ugly sweater jerseys, the Rough Riders and the Chicago Steel, coming up this Saturday night at the Stable, 7:05. They'll drop the puck. And we've got tickets for you all this week, including right now. Caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Caller number 6, you will get tickets to see Rough Rider Hockey. Back with more after this.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing more than just a rate. Does calling the company with 11 J.D. Power Awards for client service matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative technology, matter? If working with America's number one online lender matters to you, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Your car has lots of lights. You've got headlights, interior lights, the light that comes on when you open your glove box. But there's one light that's the best of the bunch, your check engine light. And at AutoZone, we have the tools to help you troubleshoot the real problem for free. Whether it's something serious or something simple like a loose gas cap, you'll get a MyZone health report to help save you money and hassle down the road. So if your check engine light comes on, come on over to AutoZone and let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
You get such an amazing shave using a Dollar Shave Club razor with their shave butter that you'll want to use their other products too. They make stuff for your hair, face, skin, and shower, and they deliver it to you. They even have gift memberships and e-cards available. And right now, you can get your first month of the club's best razor along with travel versions of their shave butter, body cleanser, and butt wipes for just $5. After that, replacement cartridges ship for just a few bucks a month. Get it all exclusively at dollarshaveclub.com/jones. That's dollarshaveclub.com/jones.
How is it that Pennzoil in your engine makes you feel this? Or how this takes your mind to this? It's because to us, performance is more than just a word. It's the ultimate goal. And whether you get your oil changed at a shop or take care of it yourself, Pennzoil synthetics give you complete protection for top engine performance. Make the switch today at your nearest Walmart location.
Teresa in Cedar Rapids going to go see the Rough Riders. Maybe she'll bid on one of those ugly sweater jerseys. I'm kind of interested to see those. And that'll be coming up on Saturday night at the stable. The Rough Riders will welcome in the Chicago Steel. And that will begin at 7:05. It's Ugly Sweater Weekend for the Rough Riders, to be perfectly truthful about it. And they'll play Friday and Saturday.
Hopefully they get a couple beautiful wins.
In those ugly sweaters. Yeah. Coming up. 3:49 here. Coming up tomorrow, Mark Ironside will join us, and then Chris Liss of RotoWire.com will be joining us as well. Last night, and I'm with you, I saw the back half of this game. I missed most of the shenanigans, but went back and saw it, heard about it, did my own studying, if you will, a little bit. But the Bengals and the Steelers last night, boy, they had a, I don't know, is the correct word an old school game? You can almost see Jack Lambert and Bill Berge when he was a Bengal, by the way, out there going at it with one another. And there were some questionable shots. There have been suspensions already. Juju Smith-Schuster has been put down, and the Cincinnati defensive back has been suspended for one game as well. Ryan Shazier sounds like he is making progress in a Cincinnati hospital. But, you know, a lot of people right now are down on football. Is just add another brick to the foundation of problems down the line, maybe 10, 15 years down the road, as we're wondering what in the world happened to football in America? Or are we making too much of this?
2262. On the text line, the Hurtine and Stocker text line. Now I've lost it because there's more texts coming in. Monday Night Football was great. There were a couple of unfortunate hits in the game, but I like seeing the passionate, smash-mouth football that was on display last night. Listen, this—it's football. It's
not going to be pretty. It's not going to be clean.
Game, violent game. It's been that way since the days of Dick Butkus and Jack Tatum and Ray Nitschke, and even before that. I do think the NFL needs to think about targeting. If the NFL is really serious about concussions, it needs to look at targeting and maybe adopt the college rule. You get tossed out of the game. You miss a half or a game or whatever it may be, because money is not going to affect these guys. You know, one game suspension might, but other than that, it's football to me.
I agree. I don't think it's going to make them stop doing what they're doing at this time. And that is the subject of our poll question as well at KGYMradio.com, and it's brought to you by Eagles Hideaway.
Do you like the style of play in last night's game between the Steelers and Bengals, yes or no?
Go ahead and vote at KGYMradio.com as yes or no on that one. It'll be interesting to see how that stacks up over local programming the next 3 hours and 10 minutes.
52-32, what was Juju to do? Just let Vontez light up the ball carrier. Vontez is one of the dirtiest players in the game anyways. No sympathy. But you still can't go helmet to helmet. CTE, has changed the rules for the better in regards to player safety. Same texter believes Smith-Schuster's block was clean. It just looked bad because Vontez didn't see him coming.
Yeah, the crack back block.
Vontez perfect, that is.
True. I'm with you. I would like to see something happen as far as the NFL, as far as targeting is concerned. And it has gone down, studies have shown, since college football has adapted the targeting ejection, the targeting penalties have gone down. Now, granted, the guys in the National Football League didn't have that, most of them, when they were in college. And can you teach an old dog new tricks at this point? And we've already come to the conclusion that you can lighten their wallet a little bit, but it's not really going to be a big difference as far as the thinking of these NFL players are concerned. But if you come in with a blatant target hit, you know, missing a half and maybe the half of the next game when it's an important divisional game might make you think twice about it.
Professional football is not for choir boys. Right?
Right.
I mean, these guys are fast. They're angry. They're hungry.
Bigger, stronger.
Bigger.
Faster. Wearing less padding than they've ever done. So you can get more of a hit in there.
Let's tighten it up a little bit, though, right? I think we're in agreement.
Yes. I would agree. I would agree. But, you know, I don't want to see football go away. I don't want to see the rules of the game be changed. We see more and more of that each year, and I think for the most part it's been for the better. I think you're going to see kicks go away sometime soon.
What is it, a 15-yard penalty for targeting in the NFL?
Yes.
But, yeah, you can have a pass interference penalty.
That's 48 yards.
48 yards.
Don't get me
started. That makes no sense.
Mark, don't get me started. That's been my thing. That's been my my soapbox for the last several years right there.
If you want malicious and the type of stuff that needs to go, look no further than Gronk's hit, classless. That was on the text line.
I would agree, and Gronk got suspended for a game and probably could have been suspended for two games, to be quite honest with you. That was malicious. There was no doubt about that. He came after him and got him. And it's going to cost Gronkowski a game, and the Patriots will win another one.
And they will.
You know they will. More on that coming up on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That is coming up next from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Then coming up tonight, we have the Cyclone Call-In Show coming your way at 7 o'clock this evening. And they kind of shift gears into the world of basketball. And there'll be a lot of talk about Cy-Hawk Week coming up tonight with the basketball coaches. And I believe the basketball coaches will be on. They usually are. So that'll be coming up on 1600 AM at 7 o'clock tonight. At 7:30 on 107.5, 106.3, we got a dandy of a girls' basketball game. Mississippi Valley Conference, Rateds going at it in Class 5A. Unbeaten number 3, Iowa City High, taking on number 13, Cedar Rapids Prairie. And we'll have that tonight for you beginning at 7:30 with myself and Steve Dozier on the call. And looking forward to that one. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Tomorrow, the unbeatable duo of Mark Ironside and Chris Liss, wrestling and fantasy football. Should be fun.
Got a win in my my playoff game.
Well,
last
good
week.
For you.
I had high points for the first time this year.
AJ Green went off Monday night, huh?
AJ Green was a big help. Travis Kelce, when you know the Chiefs were scoring a little bit early on, was a big help. Yeah, got helped quite a bit. So, you know, blind squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while.
Good for you,
as they say. We'll also have a Bowling Night in America preview coming up tomorrow because we are both on tomorrow night. So looking forward to that coming up.
Bowling weather.
Yeah, there'll still be shorts out there. I guarantee you that. Somebody's going to have shorts on tomorrow and ready to go. I got a few people I can probably, you know, call out that will have shorts, but I'm not going to do that at this point. All right, Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That is coming your way next. Thank you very much for the interaction. Do appreciate it. And we will talk to you coming up tomorrow at 3. You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM. Napa
Know How. Screwdrivers are like socks. Somehow the one you need is always missing. Lucky for you, Napa has a 26-piece screwdriver set on sale for just $19.99. Get it to replace lost tools or upgrade your current set for your neighbor to borrow and never return. Again, 26 screwdrivers for just $19.99.